All right, Chris Prasad is in the house today. How are you guys doing today? You guys doing well this afternoon? Man, I don't know why I wear makeup on Sundays, because by the end of the day, it's just like all on my face. I pretty much cried like 20% of my message at Hillside. So, you know, I'm gonna keep it together here. I say that, right? And then... you know, Pastor Christian just wrapped up an awesome series on finances, and all of it is available on podcasts. And, you know, just even hearing about our financial restoration and the seed that we sown in today, it's so important that God's people understand how to steward our finances. Amen. And learn how money can serve us and serve the Lord through us, as opposed to us serving money. There's completely a big difference. And when you don't have money, by the way, you serve money. You know, people use that phrase. PB was saying people use that phrase as an excuse for poverty in the church. That's humility. But the truth is, when you don't have money, that's when you serve it. That's when you got to work and you're constantly thinking about it, and you're constant. That's the environment that I grew up in. I was born and grew up. Well, I was born in Queens, New York. Flushing Hospital. That's pretty much like 90% of all Koreans were born in Flushing Hospital in New York, that is. And but I moved when I was 4. My dad, you know, he's moving on up to Long Island. And we lived around a bunch of Caucasian, I'll be politically correct here, Caucasian Jewish people who were very, very wealthy. And later on, my dad's business started to really take a turn for the worse. And so I grew up wanting a lot of stuff and not being able to get that. You guys know what that feels like when you want a lot, but you can't get it. And so that was the beginning of me kind of stepping into a lot of foolishness in my life. But we got to be proper stewards of our finances, because we got too much kingdom stuff to get done. You know, were you guys blessed by Lisa sharing on the Philippines? I didn't get a chance to hear, and I'm running up the stairs here. So I'm definitely going to check that out via podcast. We got a chance to hear our brother Joel, Pastor Joel, our intern pastor in Hillside, share. And it sounded like it was a powerful time. 100 student leaders coming together and worship God. That's insane. So exciting. So while Pastor Christian was wrapping up his finance series, I also started my first series ever. And he took on the you know, world of finances, and I'm going to take on the whole book of Deuteronomy. And we're still in chapter 1, y'all. All right? So we're going to I don't know how long this is going to take, but it's going to be good, all right? So Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's turn there. I already preached 2 messages, break camp and advance, and blessed to be overwhelmed. And today I'm going to preach a message that's called Remember When. Remember When. And so I want you guys to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we're going to look at starting from verse 13, I believe. 19. Okay. And we're going to read all the way to verse 33. So I'll just take a verse and you guys can take the next verse. I'll start us off. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed.
Then all of you came near me and said, Let us send men before us that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come.
The thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us.
Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your
and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. See, this is a familiar passage. We're talking about the Israelites. This is Moses telling the new generation. All right, youngins, before you enter in the promised land, you guys need to know the history that we have with God. See, the generation that was delivered from Egypt supernaturally, they all died already. In fact, it was a result because of their disbelief. And now here's the new generation getting ready. They're in the same place their forefathers were, not for about 40 years ago. They're in the same place, right in the midst of the promised land. They're about to walk in, and Moses is like, hold up. Before you go, you need to know how we got here. You need to know the history. You need to know who God is to us, what he's done. You need to know. And so he goes on and begins to just start sharing about the history that God had with the Israelite people. And here in this particular passage that we're reading tonight, we're talking about when the Israelites first approached the promised land. They were right there. Can you imagine? It's like right there. So close. So close. To seeing what God has promised years and years and years and years ago actually fulfilled. So close. You know, this Israelites, the previous generation, all they knew was slavery. They were born slaves, lived as slaves. Yet they were the chosen generation to be delivered. 300 years of being enslaved to Egyptians. And you can imagine while they're, you know, hanging out at night, completely tired, completely exhausted, then the oldest, you know, grandpa of the bunch would start sharing stories of a man named Abraham, who was supposed to be part of their great, great, great forefather. And this man named Abraham, who had this covenant with God, and how this God told Abraham, listen, I'm going to make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. And not only that, I'm going to give you a land to call you your own. Can you imagine hearing the history and the promise, yet you're as slaves thinking, does this still apply? This is like hundreds and hundreds, centuries ago. When is this going to apply? And finally, you're the generation that begins to see supernatural signs and wonders on your behalf. They get set free from Egypt, and here they are on the brink of entering this land that was promised 300 plus years ago to Abraham. They're already there. They send out, 12 spies to check it out first. And when these 12 spies return, they come back with fruit from the land. Now, when we think fruit, it actually was a cluster of grapes, a single cluster of grapes that they brought back. And initially, when you think a cluster of grapes, you're just thinking, you know, like a small little thing and, you know, them coming, like, how exciting would that be? But one cluster of grapes in the promised land was so big, it took two men to carry. Like, we're talking about fruit. And they're all like coming in, you know, and everyone must have been so hyped, so excited. We're the ones. We're the generation. We're going to be able to see. We're going to be able to step foot in this promised land that's been talked about for so many years. It's going to be us. And 12 men, you know, with music coming down from the hill and, you know, two holding the grapes. And it's like, I was watching Armageddon the other day. I don't know why. It's so old school. Don't want a clue. Anyway, no, you know, just this epic scene of these 12 mighty men coming back from this promised land, scoping it out, holding this ginormous grapes. And all of a sudden they say, listen, the land is good. It's just like God said. It's flowing with milk and honey. And look, this is the fruit. Man, if I was the Israelites, I'd be like, yeah, you know, like this is it. This is it. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one to step foot. But the report didn't stop there. Soon after, it says, however, according to Numbers 13, however, we got problems. Okay, there's fruit. That's great. But here's our problems. Number one, they're huge. The people that are already living there, because there are people that are already living there, they're big. They're so big. Actually, Goliath was considered to be a descendant of Anak. So we're talking about like a lot of Goliaths just in one area. All right. A lot of Goliaths on top of that, fortified cities. That means this city was well advanced. See, Israelites, all they knew was work, but they didn't know about fighting. They didn't know about offensive warfare. So for them to like all of a sudden like pick up, they didn't even have weapons. They didn't even know what it meant to have a successful, you know, interaction in war. And they didn't understand that yet. They weren't trained in that way. They just got delivered supernaturally. That's all they knew. Making pyramids, holding bricks. I mean, I'm sure they were strong, but did they know how to fight? And here is an area that was fortified. These walls were high. The people living in them, big. Like, think Chris Prasad times 10. And then, like, a lot of them, you know? Like, that's big. And you know, intimidating. And you can imagine what these spies must have been feeling. It's funny because everybody, I'm sure, remembered the word that God spoke to Abraham. But that promise never included giants. When God said, I'm going to make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky, and I'm going to give to you a land to call your own. He never said, by the way, when you get there, there's going to be a lot of giants. And you know what I mean? Like that was never mentioned. So you can imagine immediately when they saw the giants, they started questioning. Is this the promised land? Because we heard nothing about giants. The fact that these giants are here must be an indication that we're in the wrong place. Or the fact that these giants are here must be an indication that we're in the wrong timing. It must mean that we got to walk around just a little bit longer until somebody else fights them and defeats them and something else happens because we're not ready for that. They were so intimidated. They were so afraid. And that fear led the whole Israelite community out of covenant and into the place of confusion. See, covenant said, this land is yours, and it's yours now. That's what covenant said. Fear said, you better get out of there. This makes absolutely no sense. And in the natural, it made no sense. How could they possibly defeat this giant army? Yet Moses here said, but it's the Lord himself who fights for you. See, what the Israelites didn't understand was when you mess with them, you mess with God. See, I'm not that big, you know, and when I fought back in the day, it usually was with my mouth and I was the one all the way in the back, you know, like, yeah, yeah, get him. And so it wasn't me in the front, you know, throwing punches or anything like that. I was just the obnoxious talker in the back. But when people mess with me today, I know if you mess with me, you messing with God, because I got the spirit of Jesus Christ inside of me. He decided to make his dwelling place inside of me. I'm a holy temple. So if you mess with me, you're messing with God. So I pray mercy on you. Lord, forgive them. They do not know who they're messing with. You know, the Israelites didn't know who they were. They didn't know who was on their side. They didn't understand that these giants had absolutely nothing against their great and mighty God. How did this happen? How do you go from a supernatural, you know, breaking free of years and years of enslavery and from Egypt to seeing giants and all of a sudden being in a place of fear again? What happened? How did they get there? You know, I want to draw your attention to one particular verse. By the way, if you're entering a promised land, and what I mean by promised land is promises of God. You know, back in the day, it was a physical land, but today it means the promises of God. For example, I'm healed. That's a promise of God. So if that's my promise, anything that doesn't come into agreement with that covenant word that God gave me, that means that must be a lie. and that must not be true, and I can't come into agreement with that. But sometimes when you're entering your promised land, you see giants. Case in point, I'm excited to be a mother one day. I want to be a mom. You know, when I first got married, I was the last thing on my mind. You know, I always loved babies, but I loved giving them back. You know, like, especially when they're crying or you smell something, like, and back to their mom. But, you know, the idea of taking care of a baby 24/7 and raising a child, that responsibility, that weight was always overwhelming for me. And on top of that, I had a terrible relationship with my mom for a lot of my life. And so one of my greatest fears was to be like her in her worst moment. Because my mom's an amazing woman. And today, I can't even begin to tell you what kind of relationship we have. We have an amazing relationship. But there was a season in my life where it was brutal. And I was afraid that I would be her in that crazy stage, you know, when she was crazy. And I was afraid that I was going to get a daughter like me who was crazy. And I was like, I'm not interested in that. I was always afraid, especially of having daughters. And so, you know, God, you know, through these past years of getting married, I've been married over 4 years now, God really started to break down all these fears. And, you know, Judy, where's Judy Kim at? Is she in? Oh, Judy. I was going to give her a shout out. Even Judy, she had lived with us for almost a year. She, having her in my home set me free. Like, you know, it's like, oh, Judy, you should be thankful that you lived with us and in our apartment. And, you know, I could say that, but really, it was a mutual edification. I know she was blessed, but she blessed me. And having her in my home really broke off. No, I'm going to be a good mom one day. You know, really believing that and just relating to her, spending time with her. It was just such a precious time for me as well. And so, you know, I'm ready to be a mom. I'm excited to be a mom. Christian's ready to be a father. He's excited to be a dad. And about a year into getting married, I started going to the doctor to get everything checked out. I was starting to see issues and have problems. And to put it in kind of easy terms, I shared a little bit of this during prayer time, but I found out that I had issues with my ovaries, meaning my ovaries, my lady organs, okay? My lady friends, they were not working well in the sense that they weren't producing eggs. So I started getting monitored for 6 months. I was getting sonograms each month and expensive process. And they showed me pictures, you know, when you get a sonogram. You know when people have babies and they show you the sonogram of their baby, like you don't know what it is, but they're like, little nose in the mouth. And you're like, what is that? Well, I had that kind of sonogram, but it showed my eggs. And they were like showing me a series of photos. And they're like, okay, you see these little circles? I'm like, yeah, those are your eggs. I'm like, yippee. And they're like, all right, you see how they're still the same size? I'm like, yeah. They're like, that's not good. I'm like, what? You see, they're supposed to look like this. And then they show me another picture of some healthy eggs of another woman. You know what I mean? And they're like, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what yours look like. And what I'm trying to say to you is that your eggs are not producing. They're not maturing. So even if you wanted to get pregnant, you wouldn't be able to. Now, I got this report about 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, I did not want to have a baby. So I was like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, that's all right. We all good. But, you know, like, I didn't really think about it. Like, I was nervous about it because I knew I wanted to be a mom one day. And I think from that moment, it planted this fear that I was going to have trouble. Like, it was going to be a tough time when I wanted to be a mom. It started then. But because I wasn't so interested in becoming a mom just yet, I kind of put it aside and was like, we'll deal with it when that happens. But still, I received prayer, so much prayer for that specific prayer request. Even before I wanted to be a mom, I told different people and I had asked them to pray for me. Now, when I decided, me and Christian were like, you know what? I think we're ready. Let's go for it. I decided to go to the doctor again. And very lovely lady, but needs to really learn how to be nice because... You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because, you know. Anyway, so Elizabeth and I went to the same doctor, and so we got stories to tell. Anyway, so she said to me again, but this time she added like a whole nother list of things I could possibly have, like cervical cancer and, you know, this and that and this and that. And I'm like, okay, thank you, Grim Reaper. You know, like everything she said was like so negative and like nothing good, not a single positive thing. Everything was drenched in like foreshadow of, you know, like gloom. And so I said that she's, you know, She just prophesied over me. And she just went boom, 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 boom. And she told me the issue hasn't changed. Your situation has not changed. You still have the same problem. You are not ovulating. Your eggs are not maturing. If you want to have a child, we have to take some alternative steps. And so what you guys may have heard initially was my apartment. We just moved a couple of months ago, Pastor Christian and I, into an incredible apartment, like really an amazing apartment. And our apartment number is 2811. Now, this book, Deuteronomy, is a book that I've been, you know, am going to be preaching on. So it's something that I've been meditating in my own quiet time. And God began to speak to me about the numbers 2811. And we thought, you know what, maybe it could be, you know, a powerful verse. So Christian tried to look up something and it was like, you know, something random. And I was like, what about Deuteronomy, since I was studying it anyway? And we looked up Deuteronomy 28:11, and it said, the Lord will cause you to abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of the ground, which I swore to your fathers I will give to you. So I remember we looked that up, and I was like, this is before I went to the doctor, and I'm like, ooh, hallelujah. And I remember thinking, you know what, maybe this is the time. Soon I'm going to be a mom, because the fruit of the womb was just like, oh, you know, and that just that one part, it's like in your face. And so I was like, all right, this is the word of the Lord. And then I went to the doctor, and I forgot about that verse. And I was journaling again, just spending time with the Lord, and he reminded me, like, listen, I knew that you were going to get this doctor's report, but remember, I set it up for you. You just moved into a house. 2811. That means every single time you open the door to your home, I want you to remember that I will cause you to prosper. I will cause you to prosper. So here's my promised land, one day holding a precious baby. But before I enter in that promised land, I saw a bunch of giants. Let's be real here. I saw a bunch of giants, because the only way to get into the promised land is by faith. And when I talk about giants, I'm talking about anything and everything that causes you to doubt. Anything and everything that causes you to doubt or to be afraid is a giant in your promised land. And so I'm trying to claim this promised land, and I'm going to be a mom, the fruit of my womb. I will prosper. And here are these giants right in my face. And God reminds me of this verse, and I'm thinking, God, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I'm meditating on this passage here. And God really zoned me in unto verse 30. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Just as he did in Egypt. See, the Israelites experienced the mass deliverance. But when I read that, it spoke directly to me. I felt like what God was saying is, remember when? Remember when? You know, Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Sonny just spent a couple of weeks here in Korea, and I got to spend some time with them. But the person I spent the most time with was Alethea. Alethea is 3 years old. In fact, when I told Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Sonny about my situation, both of them, I told my husband, he's like, no, all is well. All is well. Don't even listen to that doctor's report. I told PBMPS, and, you know, they were like, no, all is well. And Pastor Sonny started getting pumped. And I was like, what's she getting pumped about? You know, like we were FaceTiming. And so she's like, you know what, Erin? I just feel like God is setting you up. This is going to be a powerful testimony. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be so good. You know, God, he's writing your story right now. And not only is this for you, but this is for the whole house. Because when you hold that baby in your arms, everybody's going to know that God is the God that heals. And she said, that's the same diagnosis I got when I tried to have Alethea. Her same issue was she wasn't ovulating. Same thing. And 8 years, it took them 8 years. 8 years, each year, they talked about it with the church. Because I'm not interested in hiding this from you guys. Why? Because when it happens, I want you all to celebrate with me. You know what I mean? Like, I want you guys to be in such prayer with me that when it does happen, it's going to be a party for the whole house to join in on. In the same context, PBMPS, every year they went to the congregation and said, this is going to be the year we're going to get pregnant. 8 years they did that. Can you imagine? First year, pump. Second year, all right, it's all good. Third year, fourth year, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. How many giants must have been facing them in that moment, mocking them. Are you kidding me? It's been 6 years, folks. You are not getting any younger. Nothing has happened. You will not get pregnant. Now you're just setting up your whole congregation. You know what I mean? To be disappointed and discouraged. Just giants after giants after giants. But they held fast. And they refused to be moved out of the covenant. 8 years later, baby Alethea was born. She's so cute. Beautiful. And she was born, and the whole church, that year, they had 10 births. Like everybody was pregnant at the same time. Like, the whole church was like, and there's a picture of all of them, like, holding their babies. Like, it was incredible. The moment God opened the womb for Pastor Sunny, it was a, oh, so married couples, some of y'all are like, oh, no. What does that mean? I'm looking at Jane. Anyway, 10 babies, it was just like the promise of God just overflooded to the whole house of this increase. And so I'm playing with Alethea. And, you know, we're having a grand old time. We got our pass to Bororo Land, which Susie introduced her to. That place is just like chaos. It's just basically everything's Bororo, and you just run around and scream on top of your lungs. You know what I mean? Like with the eye. And, you know, like, just kids bugging out, and it's just out of control. So I went with them, and you actually get, like, a passport. Like, it looks like a legit passport, but it's for Bororo Land, and you get a visa, like a Bororo Land visa that you stand. Anyway, it's crazy. So we got a 5-thing pass because she loves it so much, and it's right next to our apartment. And so I took her 3 out of the 5 times. And so we're playing. So I spent a lot of time with her. You know, I spent time in our own playground, in our apartment building. It was just a lot. She slept over one night, and her and I were just like under the blankets, just talking. And like, we couldn't sleep because we kept talking about random things. She was like, "Do you love your daddy or my daddy?" I was like, "Girl," I was like, "I love them both." She goes, "No, you have to choose one." And I was like, "Alethea, do you love your mommy or your daddy?" She's like, "My daddy." And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to tell your mommy." She goes, "I love my mommy." And I was like, "See, it's not easy choosing one, is it?" And she's like, "But you have to choose one." Like, we had the most strangest conversation. It was awesome. But as I spent time with her, she started doing this, and she had this habit before coming. It's called remember when. I call it that just because that's what she was doing. So she remember when, so she'd come up to me and she'd be like, "Remember when we went to Bororo Land? That was like, you know, 15 minutes ago. Like, we just got back there." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know." But then I started just joining in. I'm like, "Alethea, remember when you were on the train in Bororo Land?" And she's like, "Yeah." Like, "Remember you held that Korean boy's hand?" She's like, "Yeah." Mom's in the back. She's like, "What?" It's like, "Don't worry, it's okay." But what happened when we started remembering is she started delighting. Like, if she was in a cranky mood, I just said, "Alethea, remember when we went to the playground?" She's like, "Yeah." Like, it just started to shift her into thinking about all that she did that was so much fun. So all we did was remember when, here Moses is approached by the whole congregation of Israel, and everyone is so stuck on the fact that this quote-unquote promised land is filled with giants. They're confused, they're discouraged, and they're afraid. And what Moses chooses to do in that moment is a remember when. Remember when God was with us and delivered us out of Egypt? He tried to invite them into a place where they could remember who God was and who they were, but they refused to step into it. They refused. It's like Alethea saying, "Remember when?" And I was like, walking away. It's like she invited me in, but I walked away. She loved remembering so much that she would take my phone, and I have known Alethea for, I think we've been in a relationship for, I know, it's like me and a 3-year-old girl. I think her and I we go back like a year and a half, 2 years. And in the beginning, when I first met her, she couldn't even walk. And so I have videos and clips of her, you know, and I have some videos where he would send me videos of her through WhatsApp because he knew I loved Alethea. even when she rejected me, like constantly. And so I showed her this one clip of her, like she was two, running around in her diapers, and she's holding like a lobster ball. Oh, there's Judy. I just gave you a big shout out. You missed the shout out, girl. Anyway, she's holding this lobster ball and running around. And all of a sudden, PB's like, hey, Alethea, come say hi to Auntie. She runs up. She goes, hi, Auntie. He goes, say hi to Uncle. Hi, Adol. And she loved this video. And since that moment, she said, remember? Remember when I called Uncle Adol? And we're like, remember that? And I'm like, yeah, I remember. Because you didn't remember until I showed you that video. But you know what I mean? Like, we'll remember that. Or remember when we played hide and go seek? Or remember, just constantly remembering. It's funny. Some of us, our problem isn't that, you know, we can't remember. It's we're choosing to remember the wrong thing. We're so set on remembering what that person said to us that night. We're so set on remembering what that person did that day or what we did that we hope nobody else finds out about. You know, there was one video that I had of Alethea when this is how you know that she didn't really like me in the beginning. She's playing, she's baby talking and just running around. So cute. Pastor Sunny's laying on the sofa. And then she goes and she runs to me and she takes one look at me and she goes, no. Like mean mugs me and backsteps, you know, like I didn't even know babies could do that, but she mean mugged and backstepped me mugging me. And I showed her this video just to show her, you know, remember when you didn't like me? But she looked at it and she goes, like next. Like she wasn't even interested in that video. Like look at me like, why are you showing me this video? You know, like show me that other Udo video. Every time she looked at my phone, when she saw that video, she'd just pass it. Why? Because this 3-year-old girl knew, why would I dwell on that? Why would we watch that? What's the point of playing that video? Let's talk about the videos where I'm cute and I'm laughing and I'm dancing. And you know, why am I going to look at that video? She just knew that that would be a waste of her time. And yet for so many of us, our playlists are those videos where we remember when we failed. We remember when we committed to God this thing and we broke down. We remember when we had this moment, but now, you know what I mean? We fell back. We remember this or remember that. I'm telling you, you got to change your playlist. We need to put a playlist of remembering all that God has done in our lives. Remember when you didn't even know him and he ushered you into his presence for the first time? Remember when you first had the revelation that he loved you. Not because of anything you did. Remember that? Remember when you were struggling with this addiction or that addiction and you didn't know what to do, but someone came in and helped you and now you're set free? Remember that? Remember when? You know, I talked a little bit about this at Friday Fire, and Pastor JM, he took it to heart, and him and Sky together started to look at his old journals. He's a journal writer, and so am I. And so he had a journal entry of 2005 of Semi, actually, and Semi's in the house, of just what he would write in his journals are prayer topics. Like he would journal, and then he would do prayer topics and praise reports. And a prayer topic was, you know, Semi, and, you know, write out God, you know, bless Semi, or something like that. And when I saw that on Facebook, I thought, man, I got to look at my journals. I have about 6, 7, maybe 8 journals since I came to Korea. And I was never, ever a consistent journaler, like back in the day. You know, I had a couple of random stuff when I was like in 5th grade or whatever. I found my 1st grade journal once that I had to do for class. It was awesome. It's like, today we had pizza. And everything's like spelled wrong, you know? Like today was a great day, you know, like it was awesome. And I started and I found this journal, and this journal is actually like my first journal in Korea. In fact, it came with me. It was a gift when I was in Africa right before coming to Korea. I went on missions and I got into a fight the first day in Uganda on missions. I got into a fight with this chick and like we were beefing hard, and I just thought, what is going on? Why am I here? Like what? And I just thought to myself, no, I can't let this happen. And I walked up to her and I apologized first. And she was so touched by my apology, we became really good friends. And when I left for Korea, she gave me this journal. And in this journal, throughout the journal, she wrote little sayings. Like, I didn't know she did that. So when I went to like the 30th page, there'd be like a find a loving church. You know, 60th page was, you know, remember the starry night of Africa. Just like little notes in the pages. Super sweet. And so this is a journal that was with me when I first came. The first entry is my first day in Korea. First entry. And God just brought me back because here I am facing this another set of giants in my life. And the only thing I could hear God speak to me is remember when, remember when, remember when, remember when. And so I was like, all right, well, let me remember. And so I looked at this journal and man, this journal is entertaining. It has my first date with Pastor Christian in it. Oh, no, 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 no. I really wanted to read it, but it doesn't make sense with the message. Next time, another message, I'll bust this out. You'll laugh so hard. And I have the first day, the first Sunday, I went to church at New Philly, which was JCM at the time. It has my deliverance session. It has, this is just, my journey with God started way before, but my life being transformed started in Korea. And leading up to this, I'm going to read you a couple of entries just for sheer entertainment. Prior to this, the place that I was at was just an utter rebellion to the Lord. I was addicted to drugs. I was highly promiscuous. Like, you'll notice here how big boys were a big issue in my life. Like, what I write, you'll find it fun. But finding my identity in men was huge. Huge, stealing, you know, horrible, just relationships, abusive relationships, not just me getting abused, but I was abusive, to other people around me and, hurt people, you know, and I was hurt and I hurt a lot of people. So I was coming off of a time in my life that I was trying so hard to forget, yet it's the only thing I could remember when I was in Korea. And if you want to talk about that playlist that we shouldn't be playing, that's even though I was in Korea, it's like, back of my mind, this is who you really are. Remember this? Remember when you did, oh, you want to lift up your hands during service, but remember when? Oh, you want to become a leader, but remember when? Oh, you want to go to the retreat, but remember when? And it's just like the devil flipping that concept of remembering in such a negative way. That's just all I knew. And so I was in a really crucial place in my life. I went to Africa as just complete step of faith and God totally romanced me. I spent a week in Uganda and a week in Rwanda. And it was just an amazing time. And here's day one of Korea. I'm going to pause when there are words I shouldn't say. Okay, so like, you know, God was still refining me. Like even after missions, after coming back from an amazing time in Africa, I still smoked a blunt the night before coming to Korea. You know, because it's just, I was one foot in the world and one foot trying to follow Christ. Like I didn't know what it meant, how to be free. So, you know, bear with me here. I'm going to not read the parts that are really bad just because, you know, save you guys that. Okay. Day number one. This is August 30th, 2006. Okay. About 6 years ago. So my first full day was pretty busy. My chaganama woke me up at 8 and was surprised how well I slept. She obviously doesn't know me well. Korea plays the weirdest American music. Rod Stewart? What? I'm really glad I didn't go to orientation. I was at orientation for SMOE or EPIC, as you guys know. It looked pretty whack. It was crazy to see so many people from all over the world. England, Ireland, Australia. I don't know why. Why would... God knows why they chose Korea. I was so confused why everyone was in Korea. Even though I hate on the motherland, I couldn't stand hearing them complain about it. Most of the people are old and weird. But I did see this hot white guy. But he was into this girl in his district who was so obviously sweating him that... So he looked like a typical boy, but hotter. So my district leader, Mrs. Kim, is so nice. It's nice being able to speak Korean even if I suck. I can't imagine how much harder it would be for non-Koreans. This adopted Korean, I think, was trying to hit on me. I think he's weird. No cute boys anywhere. And I hope it stays that way. I'm so lonely, I might throw myself at anyone. It's all these dramas. Seriously, dramas equal the devil. Oh yeah, the bank card here has a huge red devil on it, which at the time, all the bank cards we got had a huge devil on it. What's wrong with this country? I'm going to read you another one. Oh, man, this is really funny. Are you guys going to be okay for this one? I didn't read this one at Hillside, but you guys will get it. Hold on 1 second. Okay, here we go. Why is it so hot in Korea? Why? I hope I look like I'm doing some work because I don't know what's going on. I wish I had an office. I was in a small place. Anywho, church was yesterday and it was insane. Wait, let me go back to more on Saturday night. I met my friend, not say the name. I met my friend and after wasting a lot of money and getting off at the wrong exits, he took me to what's supposed to be a pretty trendy area. I went to Apgujeong for the first time. And we ate dinner, yada, yada, yada. We ran into a lot of people he knew from church, as well as this girl and her boyfriend. I forgot his name. He's half Korean and half German, and he's super hot, but really young. Later on, I met his older brother, who's hot too. The next line is, yummy Germans. Oh my goodness, I am sanctified. I am sanctified. The girl's boyfriend is a model. He was a legit model. Figures. He calls her a German flower, and they were ODing on PDA. So, I learned that Korea is couple central. If I can stay single for a whole year, wow, I give God so much props. Like, this is where I was at, y'all. Then I talk about how everyone was drinking, got drunk, yada, yada, yada. The next morning, my friend called me at 9:30 and woke me up for church. Okay. So this is my first time at JSCM. First time with this church. It used to be called JSCM, but this is at the Hillside campus. All right. 9:30. So-and-so called me at 9:30 and woke me up for church, which by the way was sick. That means good. They all just got back from a retreat. The retreat that everybody got back from was when the fire fell for the first time. Wow. The speaker happened to be from South Africa, and his message was all about missions. Remember, I just returned from missions from Africa, and I was like crazy blessed. And it's already Tuesday. I'm still writing about Sunday. So to sum up Sunday, I feel like God really touched my heart. I wonder if one day he wants me to go on missions. One of the songs I heard was Let Your Glory Fall in This Room. How strange. And I said how strange because that song was a song part of our Africa missions trip training. So we constantly sang it. So during our two-month training, that was our theme song and that was a song that was sung. Another song that seriously made me cry was The Power of Your Love. I felt Ju's presence. Now, Ju is short for Chuhi. Her English name was Diana. She was my best friend. And about a year and a half ago, prior to this moment, she passed away in a car accident. When we were in sixth grade, we came to know the Lord together, pretty much. And we both really fell away. So when she passed away, she was in a really bad place, which was very difficult for me. But when we were young, when we were about 12 years old, we did a coffee house together. And we sang Power of Your Love. And harmonized, that's when I first learned how to harmonize. And so that song was really special. So they played that song and I was bawling. I still remember preparing for some coffee house and trying to harmonize that song. I miss her. I ate shabu shabu that night with the congregation. This was the first time I ever ate shabu shabu, which is a testimony because it's my favorite food ever. Brian Wee invited me as a newcomer's minister at the time. And it was an awesome day that ended with a good heartfelt prayer. I feel like I'm growing because I can pray longer than 5 minutes. That was 6 years ago. And God was like, remember when? Remember when? 5 months later, I wrote this entry. Just 5 months later. I went to a prayer mountain with a couple of people. And this is what I wrote. 5 months later, I have so much to learn. I'm learning new things every day, and I'm humbled by the experiences because I think I know, but I really don't. So far, I finally confessed to people about my lust and struggle with it. This is something that had been such a point of shame in my life. My issues with lust, you know, I was promiscuous, but not just physically. I'd struggle with pornography. I'd struggle with all sorts of areas of lust that typically is okay for guys, but for girls, it's like really, you know, like dirty and you're perverted. And so leading up to this point, I kept a distance at church because I was so ashamed. But I went on this prayer mountain and a couple of these sisters shared their testimony with me for the first time. And when I heard their testimony, I shared that I've been struggling with the sin. I'm excited for the enemy to loose his stronghold in me. The sister shared some things that made me extremely vulnerable, which gave me the courage to share as well. It's awesome how God works like that. On the way here, I was filled with so much shame. Praise God for changing lives. He is good. I'm also learning how much I need to really study God's word. I hope I can one day learn how to hear what it is that he's trying to say to me. God has really been opening my eyes this week, and I'm so thankful for it. I know I have a long way to go, but God will finish the work he started in me. Isn't that crazy? A week later, I had a conversation with Pastor Christian, who was just Brother Christian in my journal. Brother Christian. And he encouraged me to open up about my past with a group of leaders. And it was a healing and deliverance session. And when I first heard about it, I said, heck no. Because what sane person would tell a bunch of people who don't know, you know, who doesn't know you that well, all of your dirt, all of your issues, all of your sins, everything. What sane person would do that? And so I was like, no. I was almost offended that he even suggested that. He was all like, you have bondage. And I'm like, what? Like, I have what? Well, you know, anyway, so I was just upset, really offended. But when I went on this prayer mountain thing and people started opening up, I realized, man, maybe I need this thing. And so I did a QT, and this is an entry of my QT that day when I was thinking about it. During prayer tonight, I asked for wisdom about deliverance, and God led me to open up to James chapter 5. If any of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What I didn't know was this is the theme verse for our healing and deliverance ministry. This is the verse that we hold to, why we have HND. And this is the verse God led me to that day. And so I wrote, to sum it up, I'm going to ask Christian to lead my deliverance. I'm going to take away the authority I've given to Satan about all my sins. It's going to be so hard, but with God, I'm victorious. I spoke to Ju Hyun, who's at Hillside, for the first time today. Makes me want to get to know everyone more. God is doing mighty things at JCM, and it's really exciting. I also got a haircut. It looks okay. February 8th, 2007, this is the day I had my healing and deliverance session. The title is Day of My Deliverance. And after my deliverance session, I spent some time with the Lord and I wrote a very short entry. It said this, Day of My Deliverance, !! After being set free. I stayed after and prayed with Jenny, who was a sister who was at my H&D, and God showed his love for me. I saw a bright light shining upon us, and I had a vision of an army. I had a vision of an army, and I had a vision of a Passover, like blood smeared on my door. It was as if I was protected and secured against the enemy. On that day, another sister got a vision for me that she saw me standing, shining, and behind me was just so many sheep, a multitude of sheep. At that time, I didn't know what that meant either. I had no intention of going into full-time ministry. I was just a SMOE teacher at the time. And, you know, I had no idea, vision of the army. We had never talked about the army of God in JCM at the time. And so here God was. And I'm reading these journal entries on and on and on. And God is saying, remember when? Remember when? Remember when? God wants you to remember. Every Sunday, I go to the same sanctuary that changed my life. And there are days where I forget what happened. Remember when Itaewon didn't have their own sanctuary? Remember when you met? Remember when you guys didn't even start service yet, church plant team members? Remember when you evangelized every week? Remember that? Remember when we started at King Bar, people who wanted to drink would come in thinking that the bar was open? Remember that? Remember when we had the whole huge pool table in the way of everything and we put our makeshift offering box, which we still use, cleverly done by Pastor Brian. Remember when? Remember when we first saw this place? It was so nasty. We redid this, by the way. We paid money and reconstructed. This stage wasn't here. This carpet, the walls, everything. We redid it. Remember that? Remember the first time we had all the church members clean this facility together? And Hillside all chipped in and they paid for the seats that you're sitting on right now as an act of faith. People did a one seat donation, that seat that you're sitting on right now. Remember when? All these things, God began to say, what are you choosing to remember? Because when you remember, you understand that the giants in your promised land are nothing. You remember that the giants in your promised land have absolutely no power to hold you back from your destiny and your calling. In fact, in Numbers chapter 14, Joshua and Caleb, they tear off their clothes, so frustrated at all of everybody else murmuring this bad report, and they say, God is with us, and these people, these giants, are our bread. When they saw the giants, they weren't thinking obstacle. They were thinking, it's dinner time. They were thinking, it's time to eat. It's time to rise up in authority. You know, when a lion is in a jungle and he hears a rustle, he doesn't flee. Maybe a deer. With a deer, just one crack of a branch, a deer runs for its life because it's, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But when a lion hears a crack, it's dinner time. What's for dinner? He knows the authority that he carries. We're too much like deer. Giants come, circumstances come, things that bring doubt in your life come, and we're so quick to say the Lord hates us. He delivered us from Egypt only to kill us here. What? What? Are you serious? Remember when? Remember when you felt God's love for the first time? Well, I remembered. I remembered who I was 6 years ago. I remember for me to be standing up here and preaching to you guys is a sign and a wonder. I have no preaching experience. I had no ordination. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to Bible college. Like, for me to be standing up here and preaching to you guys makes no sense. This is the girl that was talking about every other guy being hot. You know what I mean? And it would be a miracle if I stayed single for a year. Like, this is the same chick that was going out drinking Saturday night and then making her way to church on Sunday. That same girl who came 6 years ago is a pastor. Can you imagine? Whatever giants facing that I'm facing today has nothing. Nothing on me. Ovaries, please. Please. Eggs not producing, please. What? It's dinner time. I'm going to take authority over this bad boy. And every single person I meet who's going to have issues with pregnancy, I'm going to lay their hands. And I'm going to be able to show, you see that baby over there? That's my baby. And that baby was birthed because of a miracle that God has done. He can do it in your life. That's what I'm talking about. Giants becoming your food. The reason why you see giants in your promised land is not because it's the wrong timing. It's not because you don't belong there. It's because God's setting you up. He is setting you up for a greater authority. We need to be a people that remembers who God is and all that he's done in your life. You know, some of you don't have this history with the Lord yet. And, you know, I can show you 7-8 journals of my history with God in Korea. And for you, you're just starting out your walk with the Lord. And I want to encourage you guys, the generation that Moses was speaking to also weren't the ones that got personally delivered out of Egypt. They also weren't the one that personally heard God's voice to say, this is the covenant I made from you, but they were part of a lineage. And they understood what was spoken to Abraham had everything to do with them. And they understood the deliverance that happened to their fathers had everything to do with them. And I'm telling you, my story today has everything to do with you. The stories that were written in my life, in Pastor Christian's life, that's your inheritance. It took Pastor Sunny 8 years to get pregnant. It's not going to take me 8 years. She paid the cost for that. She walked that road of faith so that it can come easy to me. And if any of you guys ever confronted anything like that in your lives, it's going to be like this. I'm talking about anointing and authority that comes from your inheritance. So if you're looking at me like, remember what? I can't remember. There's nothing to remember. Then remember my story. Then remember the girl that you can imagine coming in wearing tight clothing and heck of makeup, you know, all snobby. Shoot, I remember when I first met Pastor Diana at the retreat, I was so nervous. I was scared because I thought she was going to like beat me up. And then I got to know her and I was like, oh, I see how it really is. She's a lover, not a fighter. You know, I remember the first time I saw Diane Wheat hold a microphone and lead congregation at Friday Fire into inner healing sessions. I bawled like a baby. There's so many stories here in this sanctuary. I remember when BK got hit with the fire for the first time, Pastor Brian, for the first time, and homeboy was like, something happened. I remember who he was when he first came to Korea, and I remember who he is now. There's history here in this family, in this community. I remember when I first met Sonia. I remember what she was like. I remember when I first met Ryan Duker. And he wasn't interested in getting to know me at the time. Avoiding me like the plague. And look at him now. Powerful man of God. Powerful woman of God. Winning competitions and whatnot, you know? You know? Anointed. Anointed woman of God. I remember. If you don't have your story yet, if I say remember when and you're not sure what to remember, I don't have stories like that, I want to encourage you, ask somebody. You better ask somebody. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to someone in your small group. Ask your small group leader, can you tell me when you first came? Can you tell me about your story when you felt God's love for the first time? Because I want to remember with you. Because your story is my story. I want you guys to close your eyes with me. You know, this church plant isn't that old, but do not get it twisted. We got history here. We got stories here. We got testimonies here. We have breakthrough here. We had physical healings, testimonies of physical healings, testimonies of powerful forgiveness here in this community. Testimonies of people who even struggled with sonship here in this community who are walking in it with even greater authority. My cousin Lisa, y'all don't know, but she's my cousin. I met her at church. We didn't have a history together. Our history started in Korea. I met her for the second time in my life. And when I met her, she was still clubbing. Yeah, she was. I'm calling her out right now. She was still clubbing with Pastor Mina from Seaside. And coming to church all late. And now look at her. She's a missions director giving you testimonies of the power of God in the Philippines. I remember the first time I had lunch with her. It was almost like awkward because we're supposed to be family. But it was powerful because we knew God was doing something. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to just remember. God's going to begin to remind you. Of even when you were a little kid being dragged to church, that was his provision. someone laying hands on you when you were a child. That time you were so afraid to hold a microphone in your hand, and the day you did it. There's history with you and God. When you face your giants, don't forget your history with God. Lord, I just thank you that you are sweeping across this room our ability to remember you, our ability to remember all that you've done and all that you've set us free from, the way that you took us out of Egypt. We choose to remember you today. We will not take for granted the stories that you have written in our lives. But we will share it and multiply it and testify of your goodness and of your power, Lord. Come on, let's all just begin to pray. I want to just begin to encourage you. For those of you that don't have a story just yet, I want you to understand that all of Scripture is your story. Every testimony in the very Word of God is your story. That's your lineage. That's your inheritance. By the Spirit of adoption, we call God Abba Father. That means you and I are very much related to the Scripture. All the stories, that's you. That's me. I want us to just begin to pray. Come on, just begin to give fresh thanks to the Lord. Begin to allow Him just to cause you to just sit and bask and remember. Yeah, God, I just thank you, Lord. We just remember, Lord, Father, all that you've done in our lives. All that you've done in our lives, God. Father, we choose, Lord, to look to you, God. You know, I want to give an opportunity for some of you guys to receive prayer. For those of you that you know that you're at that moment where you can make a choice, like you're at the beginning of your history with the Lord, you know, like it's being written right now. And you are like me, one foot in the world, you know, entries about God and next moment talking about how God's cursing, you know, like, you know that God's still working on you, but you're afraid to go all in. You're afraid to go all in. I want you to just stand to your feet. We just want to pray for you right now. If that's you. Leaders, I want you to just keep praying. You know, just like Pastor Sunny, what took her 8 years, I know is not going to take me 8 years. She paid that price. What took me, you know, a 3-hour session and, you know, years of, you know, terrible, painful growth, yet powerful. It's not going to take you that long. You're walking in double anointing here. There's a grace that's available to you. Come on, those of you that want all in. I want you to just stand to your feet, all in. Yeah. Yeah, if I can get the pastors, can I get you guys to come to the front? And all of you that are standing to your feet, I want you to just come up and just receive prayer. We're just going to take a moment and pray for you and bless you. Yeah. And everybody else, I want you to just reach out your hands, because I'm sure you remember this moment for you, right? The moment where you were confronted with going all in with the Lord. And I want you to begin to pray and press in and declare that today's going to be a turning point. for these amazing daughters. Come on, let's just begin to lift them up. Yeah, why don't you guys begin to start praying for them, honey? Lisa, can you come up as well and start? Yeah. Come on, lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. Let's come against all the giants in their lives that are telling them that they can't, that they're not strong enough, that they're not good enough. Begin to break down all the giants that you've overcome. Begin to prophesy your victory over them. Prophesy your victory over them. Begin to speak it out. Come on, your victory. Every area of your life that God has called you to be victorious, I want you to speak it out. Release that inheritance. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Father, you're doing a new thing. 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 Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord. You're writing out stories, God, of your faithfulness and of your goodness, God. We just release it, God, your power, Lord. God, Lord, we just declare, God, that today is the day, God. Today is the turning point, Lord. Today, God, oh Lord, we're not turning back, God. I just speak your grace, God. Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, we just speak forth your faithfulness and your goodness, God. And your goodness, God. Yeah, Lord, we just speak forth your faithfulness. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Lord, we just take authority and we just prophesy victory over this altar right now. We prophesy victory and your promises over this altar right now, God. We declare that all the victories, testimonies of victory in this room, God, we declare as being a prophetic word, God, that there is a grace and an anointing that's going out, Lord, that's bestowing upon each and every single person here. We just thank you, Lord, that the cost has been paid. You have paid the price on the cross, Lord, that we may live a victorious lifestyle. Father, we remove the power of all the giants screaming, mocking, accusing, Lord, and we declare that their covenant, that they will stay in covenant, God, with you, that they will not be led out of covenant, Lord. Father, we thank you that you will cause them to prosper. You will cause them to prosper, Lord. We just speak your love. We just speak your power. We just speak your deliverance, God, over their lives. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Come on, let's just give a... And encourage you guys, if you receive prayer, to come and talk to the pastors afterwards as well. But I want to close with this, is that those of you that have a story, share your story. Remember when is great when it edifies you, but remember when is powerful when you tell somebody else. Now, all of a sudden, remembering when becomes a power tool to help someone else get set free. So let's remember when together. Amen? Amen. Amen.